a 27-17 loser to the Minnesota Vikings. But it wasn't nearly as bad as I think a lot of people thought it was going to be. And Mike Zimmer, known as one of the best defensive minds in the NFL, did not totally destroy Josh Rosen. Here's Steve Wilks after the game.
He did, and it's a lot to learn and grow from, you know, being a rookie. We talked about that coming into this game, that Zimmer was going to show all kind of different looks. So he's going to definitely learn and grow from this game.
That's Steve Wilks talking to Paul after the game about the positives of Josh Rosen and some of the things that he's not blaming Josh Rosen on.
I thought he did some great things. You know, again, we got to do a much better job of protecting him, allowing him to be able to go through his progression. And, you know, we moved the pocket early on. We got to continue to try to do some things like that to help him out.
He actually threw for more yards than Kirk Cousins did on fewer attempts. Stop and think about that. You know, look, Josh Rosen, I thought, played better than he did in San Francisco. And this was a bounce-back game for him. I was more impressed with his start than I was in his start against Seattle. I was more impressed with this last start than I was Seattle. This game was against a playoff-caliber team with a better defense, better defensive talent than the Seattle Seahawks even have. And it was on the road. And I thought the kid played okay. I thought it was a growth game, as a matter of fact, for Josh Rosen. And that's so important right now when you're talking about the rest of the season. The fact that you're 1-5 right now and the rest of the season, I'm sorry. You're sitting here 1-5. Yeah, you want to get wins. There's no doubt about that. But what's more important now? To win 5 games, 6 games the rest of the season? Or Josh Rosen shows you that he is progressing? You know what else? I'm sorry. I'll take the Josh Rosen progressing. I will. I mean, you stop and think about it right now. In San Francisco, he did not play that well, right? Did not play that well, yet they won that game. That was great, you know, but do you really, was he growing? Yeah, you know, a lot of times you can actually learn from doing poorly as well. But you've got to have success. You have to experience that success. You have to have the affirmation and the confirmation. Don't sit here and tell me about, well, Josh Rosen is a very confident dude, Wolf. You need to understand this. He doesn't need to go out and experience success to be confident. Bull. Yes, he does. He needs to be able to go out there when it's just he and the pillow. At night, at 2 o'clock in the morning, and he can't sleep, and the shadows are creeping across his ceiling, and he's thinking about how he played. He needs to be able to say to himself, all right, all right, all right. He needs to be able to say, you know what, honestly, I can do this. I got this. Deep down inside to know it. Not just talk about it, not just act like he's doing it, because guess what? If you're not experiencing success and you're walking around and you're all confident and cocky, guess what you are? Guess what you are? You're delusional. Walking around, yeah, that's right, I'm a gunslinger. I got the gunslinger mentality. I know I threw 4 picks and only completed 10 passes. You need to experience success. And that's what Josh Rosen experienced yesterday.
Today, we have 2 listeners-only meetings, as we always do the day after a Cardinals game. So we got one coming up next at 7:15, and we've got another one coming up at 9:15. And 7:15 is what's going wrong. What's wrong with the Cardinals? 9:15 is what's right. You know, it's just, hey, get it out there, get it off your chest, complain like crazy coming up in 10 minutes. And then in the 9 o'clock, when it's time for the Doug and Wolf show to wrap up, it's like, okay, let's leave something positive here.
Sounds equitable.
What are we finding here that's good? And it is, I'm amazed in listening to you today because you are very, very positive. You know,
hey.
And I'm sitting
here. What was
the
expectation coming into this game?
Getting trounced.
Run!
Right.
By a playoff-caliber team. Up in their building, right? A tough place to play. Just getting pounded. Josh Rosen completing 10 passes. Maybe 9 passes. Maybe even worse than what we saw in San Francisco. Especially with this defense, the talent that I see on tape individually. I was surprised. When it was 27-10 at the end of the third quarter, I thought, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
The route is on. I thought that fourth quarter Basin Onions was going to be real bad. I mean, real bad.
Second and goal on the 7. Two receivers to the left and one to the right. Cousins in shotgun. Has the football and going to run it himself off the right side, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown.
Well, the best thing he did was inspire his teammates. You've got to have that. Do you think these franchise quarterbacks, do you think Kirk Cousins inspires his teammates?
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does. Do you think Tom Brady? Of course.
Yep.
Of course. You need a young franchise quarterback to be able to actually inspire his teammates around him. How many times do you hear it? You know what? A quarterback, a true franchise quarterback, makes everyone around him better. It's the truth. This is just a little seedling that we're seeing from Josh Rosen right now. It's not going to be a guarantee that it's going to grow into a franchise tree, and Josh Rosen's going to be the franchise quarterback for the Cardinals going forward, ladies and gentlemen. There's no guarantee that that's going to happen, but guess what? There's a seed in it starting to sprout. That much I do know. And just looking at his team around him, I said it on the air when they went up 27-10 at the time, at the end of the third quarter, before the Cardinals took that ball, took the possession, their last possession of the third quarter, and actually moved it down the field and gained yardage, converted first downs. I said, we're going to find out about some guys, David, talking to Dave Pasch. You're going to find out about some guys right here. Guys continued to ball. That's a credit to Steve Wilks, and it's a credit to Josh Rosen as their quarterback. He continued to battle, Josh Rosen, the kid, and everyone else around him continued to battle.
Especially when you consider right after that touchdown that made it 27-10, the next drive for the Cardinals was...
Cardinals are 0-for-7 on third down. This is 3rd and 6 at the Minnesota 49. Trips to the left of Rosen, single receiver wide to the right. Rosen taps the center, changing things up with a play clock down to 3. Shotgun snap. Rosen back to throw, looks over the middle, and it is intercepted by Anthony Harris at the 48-yard line. He gets up and runs and is tackled at midfield.
Did you hear the horn in the background right there? It's just the greatest thing ever. Okay.
It was impressive that then after that, the defense came right in and got a 3-and-out.
Yes. Let me just say this, too. He made some excellent throws in this game, and even the pick that he threw was totally understandable. You hear me say it all the time. All picks are not created equal. This is one of those picks where you go, you know what? That was a great play by that guy. They were in a bunch formation, as a matter of fact. 3 wide receivers all bunched up, right? They ran a complex route combination with Larry Fitzgerald going out and then coming back inside. It was an angle route. And he actually split the difference between the other 2 wide receivers, right? Going out and then coming back in. Anthony Harris did a great job to jump that, to recognize what was happening and then jump that route. It was a great play by Anthony Harris. That was one of those plays you could sit there and say, you know what? I could see why he threw the ball. It wasn't a bad, ridiculous, ugly pick like he threw that first game that he actually went into, right? The pick 6.
The one
that
didn't
called
count
back
on the offside.
Remember
yep,
that?
Yep.
Exactly. Not the game he started, ladies and gentlemen, when he first came into that game against Seattle, right? That one.
Or you mean Chicago was the one that he first came in.
Exactly.
Thanks, yes. Khalil Mack, for being offsides.
Exactly right. That pick, that was a bad pick, and it shakes the foundation of the sideline. Like, what were you looking at? The Anthony Harris pick? Understandable.
I respect why you're positive. I get it. I'm not there with you. Tomorrow is a pick your Thursday night ticket window Tuesday, huh? Okay. Brought to you by the Arizona Central Credit Union. We'll be giving you the chance to win your choice of tickets to see the Cardinals take on the Broncos or ASU Stanford. What do you want? Just listen at 7:15, 10:15, 12:15, and 4:15 for your chance to be a winner.
It's all about expectation at this point, Douglas.
Cardinals, they're 1-5. So coming up at 9:15, what's going right? What do you see that's positive? Next, what's wrong? Your calls. You get the opportunity.
602-260-9870.
What's wrong with the Arizona Cardinals? Listeners only meeting number 1. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The microphone explodes. Shatter make no bones. The Listeners Only Meeting on the Doug and Wolf Show.
Okay, it's your turn.
Who win it now?
602-260-9870.
Coming up at 9:15, it's What's Going Right. Coming up now, What's Wrong? You fix it. Ron, you're first here on the Doug and Wolf Show. Arizona Cardinals, a 10-point loser. Ron, good morning. What's wrong with the Arizona Cardinals?
Well, I believe it's two fundamental things. I believe it's their run defense and their ability to run the football on offense. And I do believe that if they can kind of somehow just find some way to get more than 50 or 60 yards rushing or 80 or 90 per game, and maybe actually get 100 or 120, they might actually be able to open up a whole bunch of different set of plays. And then if they could just find some way, the offense that you just play with the run was second worst in the NFL, and they still got like 190-something yards rushing. If they could just find some way to stop the run, I think that game maybe has a different...
Don't take offense, Ron. You had a good call, but your cell phone was starting to crack out.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Listen, they rushed for 195 yards, the Minnesota Vikings, and they were number 31 in rushing yards per game coming into this game, and number 29 in rushing yards per play. Ladies and gentlemen, you put those two things together right there. They're bad. They haven't been able to run the ball on anybody in between the tackles. They lined up and they attacked the Arizona Cardinals in between the tackles. They have been able to actually run it on the perimeter. The Vikings, they've done a decent job running the ball on the perimeter. But in terms of lining up and running the ball in between the tackles, they've been bad. Flat out bad. And they gash the Cardinals.
In the game of football, you're not beating anybody when your two biggest problems are you can't run and you can't stop the run.
You can't.
It's a good call. Gavin, Gold Canyon. Good morning, Gavin. What's wrong with the Cardinals?
Happy Monday, Savages. I just think that we have to just come to expect that you can't put too much on Mike McCoy. I mean, when you have a rookie quarterback, you have to realize that there's going to be growing pains. And like you guys were saying earlier, with quarterback franchise quarterbacks making teams better, making guys around them better, he's just learning a lot of those things right now, and we just have to be patient with him. Thanks, guys.
Yeah,
thanks,
thank Kevin. You, Gavin. Appreciate the phone call right there. I think that's a very educated, well-thought-out phone call. It's not just Josh Rosen, of course. It's also some other guys around him that maybe you can't be as creative as you'd like to be because maybe they're not getting it. Maybe the mental errors are prohibiting you from being creative. Does that make sense?
I love that phone call, Gavin. And I think anybody that thinks firing Mike McCoy solves everything, that's you're part of the problem too, okay? That doesn't solve everything that's going on. But I have no problem admitting I don't want anybody as an offensive coordinator in the NFL that thinks third and two should be done without David Johnson and fourth and goal should be done without Larry Fitzgerald on the field. We're not even talking about what play do you call. Just the fact that their existence on the field doesn't make the defensive coordinator or the 11 guys on defense think, uh-oh, I need to worry about that guy.
Yeah, the fourth down call, once again, do your job, score a touchdown.
Pedro, Phoenix, good morning. You're on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Pedro, what's wrong?
Hey, guys, big fan. Just calling the first time caller. I think I got to agree with Ron and Gavin. The run defense, man, we got to stop those runs. You can't get you can't be running on those 100-plus yards every single game, man. Mm. And another thing on the offense is, man, receivers got to catch, man. I'm a big fan of Larry Fitzgerald, but, he drops sometimes easy passes, but at the same time, I kind of do agree that he is well covered. But yep. You know, it's that run defense mostly that's killing us.
Yeah, Pedro, thank you so much, man. Appreciate your phone call. You're right about that. I mean, the run defense, once again, this is the thing that is setting off a chain reaction right now that really makes it really, really tough on Josh Rosen or any quarterback that is playing for the Arizona Cardinals, especially when you're having difficulties trying to run the ball yourself, right? You could just see when Josh Rosen was truly in a three-dimensional offense, especially in that first half, he was able to throw the ball and actually throw the ball down the field, right? Mm-hmm. And actually did it, threw the ball down the field. But my goodness, when they became when they became one-dimensional, that's when he also got into a rhythm. I was really, really surprised. But 0 for 10 on third down, why do you think that is? I think it was because Mike Zimmer was playing with Josh Rosen and giving him a lot of different looks on those third downs, doing a lot of different things, really messing with the young guy's head. That's all Mike Zimmer. That's part of his plan. That's who he is. That's what he was going to do. But it reinforces the point. You got to have Josh Rosen in a three-dimensional offense. That means you're running it, throwing it, and using play action.
Andrew in Scottsdale. Good morning, Andrew. When you look at the Arizona Cardinals, tell me what's wrong.
Well, I still think Mike McCoy might be an issue, but I love the way Rosen is developing. And I guess you got to give McCoy's offense a chance with a rookie
quarterback. So Andrew?
I want to see something better with our receivers. I hope Larry does not retire after this year.
Andrew, sorry, your phone cut out on us right there, Andrew. Sorry about that. Very interesting what he just said. Okay, honestly. Oh, do you want the high-powered offense and Josh Rosen stinks? Or do you want Josh Rosen to actually look good and develop and forget about this creative offense? And the argument of, oh, where's the creativity, right? I mean, it's an interesting question to ask, isn't it? What do you want? Do you want to see Josh Rosen develop? I'm sure most people would say, boy, I want to see him develop in a creative offense. And there's your, you know what, honestly, there's your answer, but maybe one is mutually exclusive.
Is it okay to ask for Josh Rosen improves with Larry Fitzgerald on the field and not on the bench?
Yeah, but
okay. Well, good. That's
once again, it was a fourth down play. They were going to run the ball. Run the ball.
That's fine. Run the ball. I don't have any problem with the
just
play call.
Do your job.
I don't have any problem with the play call.
Get him off the field.
I totally agree with you. Run the ball. That was all on the offensive line, not creating movement. Totally agree. Yet, wouldn't you like to see it 10 versus 10?
Maybe he was over there getting wrapped on his hammy. I have no idea. No. But again, fourth down, run the ball.
I don't think any team in the NFL is better with one of their best players.
Do
not
your
playing.
Job.
Al Chandler. Good morning, Al. You're on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Al, fix the Cardinals. What's wrong?
Well, I'm going to disagree with you guys as far as Mike McCoy goes. I think it does boil down
to Wait.
Because what
Al, we disagree with each other. Wolf and I disagree with each other. So how are you disagreeing with both of us?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm kind of half working here, half listening, as I always do to you guys. I love you guys, by the way.
No, that's fine. That's fine. You have a real job. We don't. We get it.
Yeah, but I think it does boil down to Mike, because even when you throw a veteran quarterback like Sam Bradford in there, it was still looking just absolutely terrible. You can tell in the guys. David Johnson is fumbling. I'm not saying that's Mike McCoy's fault. I'm saying the effects of Mike McCoy are boiling down. The receivers are dropping passes. It's just not the offense we're used to seeing. And these are a lot of the similar guys that we've had for a couple of years. Yeah, it's a different offense. But I just think he is not a right fit here. I know a lot of people here are in agreement with that. And I know I get it. I get it. Rookie, give him a chance to succeed in his office, in McCoy's office.
Al, let me jump in, and I'm sorry to hang up on you, but we got 15 seconds left in this beautiful part of the program. I don't know if you were helping, because if you're in my boat of saying, once I saw what I saw yesterday, I'm pretty much done with Mike McCoy. Using drop passes and fumbles as proof that Mike McCoy's time is over.
Thank you.
Is not good proof. Yes. And that's
all I'm saying, bro.
And I realize you threw out there, Al. You did throw out there. And I'm not blaming Mike McCoy, but you did. I mean, you brought it up. There's zero. Mike McCoy has zero to do with the fumbles, zero to do with the drop passes. The
receivers are dropping passes.
And who knows how well the offense would look if they were catching the ball. That would open up more plays. That would sustain drives. That would keep things going. I just look at the reason why I'm done with Mike McCoy is anytime you think your team's better with Larry Fitzgerald on the bench, I don't care what you call, and I don't care anything you do.
Yeah, I've got no problem. Do your job, right? Call the play, do your job, move somebody off the line, score a touchdown, shut your face.
Great eats, great drinks, all for a great cause. Don't miss Dish It Out on October 21st at High Street as the best restaurants in the Valley.
It's so good to say that. Just liberating.
Serve up their best dishes, all in support of the Boys and Girls Club of Metro Phoenix. Just head to the rewards page at arizonasports.com for complete details and you chance to win tickets.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm assuming you're talking to the players you remember that were blaming everybody else.
I have no
idea
who I'm talking to right now.
Coming up next, four takeaways when we stared down the Arizona Cardinals 10-point loss to the Vikings. Four Down Territory is next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Do your job and shut it.
It's Four Down Territory with Doug and Wolf.
Here's how Four Down Territory works. Sideline reporter Paul Calvisi, color analyst Ron Wolfley, and then just me. We go through the entire game, watch the entire game, and then make decisions on what is it that we took away as we sit here and watch the game. And every Monday, we give you Four Down Territory.
First down.
My first down is Ron Wolfley's favorite subject matter. We have a third and two in which David Johnson's on the bench, and I think he's good. We have a fourth and one, and I think Larry Fitzgerald's good, and he's on the bench. And I have to say, Mike McCoy, if you were coaching against me, your team would score a touchdown every drive. So I don't even want to remotely act like I'm an NFL offensive coordinator, but I do know one thing. Every offensive play I call, Larry Fitzgerald and David Johnson would be on the field because I believe the other team has a hard time stopping them. I don't understand why you ever call a play, even if you don't want Larry to do anything without Larry on the field. That's my first down.
Well, if you're saying Larry is a decoy, okay. Larry is a blocking receiver, maybe the best in the biz, okay. But remember, he's also on the injury report with a back. Mm-hmm. And anytime they can save him from at the point of attack and save his back, I'll just throw that out there. If you want a matchup and or a situation, I'm going to throw out there, how did Josh Bynes wind up on Adam Thielen on that third down and one from the 13, and you got 57 trailing number 19, the middle linebacker in coverage, in space. If you think about it, the play before, second and six at the 18, he went to Cousins. Cousins went to Thielen again, and guess who was on him? Josh Bynes. I'm thinking they saw that and said, oh, you're going to put Bynes on Thielen? Let's try it again on third and one, and boom, there you go, 13-yard touchdown.
Well, it was Tampa 2 coverage is what it was. The Mike Backer is on the number 2 receiver down the middle of the field with two safeties over the top. It was a great throw by Kirk Cousins, but just answering your question there, listen, my first down has got to be not many people gave this team a chance to win this game, period. As we all know, making predictions is a disgrace, an affront to the athletic process, but even I expected them to lose this game, ladies and gentlemen. Beating teams on the road that are playoff caliber, it isn't where my expectation is for my beloved Big Red. So you can imagine how surprised I was when the Cards were still in this game. Played a first half, played them dead even for the most part in the first half, and somehow we're still alive in this game. You know what? Proof of life. I think this is going to be important for the rest of the season. It's going to reflect on Steve Wilks and his coaching staff, and it's going to reflect on Josh Rosen as well.
So, Wolf, real quick, should there have been a safety over the top on that or not?
Two safeties over the top, Paul, but they attacked the middle of the field. That's where you attack Tampa 2, right? Cover 2.
So should there have been
the field and
okay. So should there have been sort of a bracket over the top? I mean, should
no doubt about it. A safety hopefully is going to make a play on that. But again, you're playing cover two. They have responsibilities not only in the middle of the field but also in the corners.
Or maybe you could have James Betcher calling the play, and then you're not in cover two.
You got that right.
Second down.
My second down is a complete ripoff job of a man by the name of Paul Calvisi, pointed in this direction to me that I didn't know about azcardinals.com.
Everybody has to take responsibility for themselves. It's fairly simple to figure out who making a mistake when we're watching the tape, you know, but
that's Corey Peters from the Pauly Pigskin Report. That's my second biggest takeaway.
Well, you know what? I'll go and build on that because the man had two sacks as a nose tackle. And if you look at the stat from the week before, when he was on the field, the Niners ran for 3 yards a carry. When he was off the field, the Niners ran for 8 yards a carry. Everybody take a look at Corey Peters and Chandler Jones right now and try and emulate what they're doing and what they're bringing on a down-by-down basis.
Well said.
You know what? My second down in four-down territory has got to be the defense can't stop the run, and that spells doom and gloom for the team. The Vikings rushed for 195 yards and averaged over 6 yards per carry. That is bad. I mean real bad. real bad. They haven't been able to run the ball against anybody, in particular in between the tackles. And they just lined up and gashed the Cardinals. That's bad.
Third down.
My third down is maybe the world's a better place if A.Q. Shipley is healthy and everything's different and everybody else plays better around him. But right now you're staring at this offensive line. And Steve Keim, this becomes your major focus in the offseason because the free agent fill-ins just aren't getting it done. DJ Humphreys had what I think was one of his worst games since he got into the starting lineup. Mike Iupati is just becoming less and less effective. And Justin Pugh, I think you're one of the best dudes in the NFL. You got to get your job done. I mean, at some point, you need to start burying somebody that's lined up across from you. And it's not happening. There were and Andre Smith. Maybe mix in a couple sit-ups, because if you're going to be pulling and getting to the outside, can you get out there and actually hit somebody? I don't know if all this is on Mason Cole, because I don't blame him for not being strong enough yet, because he'll get there, I think. But, man, the other guys on that line, start getting the job done.
It's not on all on Mason Cole, but I will say this, true or false, guys, a year ago at this time when it was A.Q. Shipley and four stringers on that offensive line minus David Johnson, they had a more effective running game than they do now.
Well done, Paul.
I'm just going to throw that out there. And you know what? I'll make that number three.
Yeah,
go ahead.
There you go, Paul. Yeah. Right there. I like that. My third down and four down territory, my friends. I thought this was a growth game for Josh Rosen. Although he didn't throw a touchdown, he matched the play of Kirk Cousins. He actually threw for more yards on fewer attempts than Kirk Cousins. He can say to himself when it's just he and the pillow and the shadows are creeping across his room, as he lies awake in bed at 2 a.m. in the morning, "This game is not too big for me." He can say it in his heart of hearts and mean it. That's important. And that's my third down.
Fourth down.
My first down, my second down, my third down, all negatives. My fourth down, I hate to ever say something Ron Wolfley said, is the play of Josh Rosen. Not even maybe even the best quarterback of the weekend, rookie-wise. Darnold was pretty good. But in watching Josh Rosen be able to handle a Mike Zimmer defense, and if I quote again, boy, this is a bad fourth down for me, in the Pauly Pigskin report, that Jermaine Gresham is actually saying it gets better from here, that you were able to handle a Mike Zimmer defense and not embarrass the family. Pretty impressive performance from Josh Rosen. Still a ton of room to grow. I'd like you to see, introduce you to Larry Fitzgerald and maybe David Johnson in the pass game a little bit. But, hey, Josh Rosen seems to be learning or succeeding on every play.
And I do agree. It all comes back to the young rookie quarterback and the continued education of Josh Rosen. The degree of difficulty will not get more diabolical than Mike Zimmer. And in talking with him after the game, I think he's thoroughly convinced that all he needs is to see it once. He might make the mistake, but he'll make it once. He's going to file away in his memory bank, and he looks forward to the rematch when he gets a chance to see it again.
The best thing, my fourth down, has to do with Josh Rosen again and the fact that he inspired his teammates to keep playing. It wasn't just the offense. It was the defense as well. They continued to play. And when they got down 27-10, and all of a sudden, oh, skull! They're all doing the skull chant, and everybody was rocking. They were blowing the horn. The place was going nuts. I said to Dave Pasch on the air, Basinonians, we're going to find out about some guys right now. Because there's a lot of guys be pulling up stakes in that situation. Moving to a new city and a new river, metaphorically speaking. And it didn't happen. That speaks well for Josh Rosen.
Fair hit the close.
Hard pass.
Oh, man.
Well, they had more total net yards in the fourth quarter than the first three quarters
exactly
combined.
Exactly right, Paul.
And the more he saw, the more comfortable he got. And that has to be your main takeaway right now, because it is long term. That's where your focus should be at 1-5, and it's Rosen's continued education. And look, players know players. They know he can play. They know he has it. They are convinced of that.
Coming up next, was it the third down conversions?
You know, I don't respond to things that are ludicrous.
Was it the fourth down conversion that didn't happen? Was it the run defense?
You know, I don't respond to things that are ludicrous.
What made the coach say that? It's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Sometimes in this job, things get out of sequence. And yesterday, I heard this.
You know, I don't respond to things that are ludicrous.
And this is where I just open up myself up and have Ron Wolfley rip me. I thought for sure when I heard that phrase.
You know, I don't respond to things that are ludicrous.
Somebody was questioning whether or not Mike McCoy should remain as the offensive coordinator.
Oh, okay.
I thought somebody in the media said, hey, do you think it's time for Byron Leftwich to take over? Do you think it's... And this would be the response I would normally expect from a head coach at that.
You know, I don't respond to things that are ludicrous.
Yes, but that's not what he was talking about, was it?
He was talking about the latest Jason Lockenfora report. And right now, listen, Jason Lockenfora is on a roll.
Because
you're either going to have the entire Arizona Cardinals organization in the most massive recantation of all time. if they hit the fire sale button and start trading guys before the trade deadline, if you want to keep an eye on it, Halloween the 31st, the trade deadline the day before. Yes. I think officially it's at October 1:00 in the afternoon. I can't remember for sure the time, but I'm 100% sure that it's October 30th in the early part of the afternoon.
That's 1:00 our time, right?
I think
4
so.
4:00 on the East Coast. Yes.
I think I've got that right. So, but I know for sure that it's October 30th. I just don't remember the exact time. And I bring that up because last week Jason Lockenfora reported that Deion Buchanan and Hassan Reddick are both officially being talked about in the trade rumor circuit, and Deion Buchanan is borderline being shopped. And I actually bought into the Deion Buchanan. Then the newest one is that Patrick Peterson is on the trade block as well, at least to the point of listening. We will listen on Patrick Peterson. And when Steve Wilks was asked about Patrick Peterson trade rumors,
you know, I don't respond to things that are ludicrous.
And just shot that thing down fast.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, you're going to listen to anything, right? And everybody, aren't you? Honestly? Of course you would. Every man has his price. Of course you're going to listen to that. If somebody calls on Patrick Peterson, Steve Keim is not doing his job. If he just says, I don't even want to talk about it with you, I'm going to hang the phone up. Patrick Peterson, we're not trading him. Somebody calls and says, hey, listen, you know, we'll give you three number ones. I'm just, you know, throwing that out there for Patrick Peterson. You're going to listen to all of it. It's his job as a general manager to listen to all of it. The question becomes, what's the likelihood of that happening? The likelihood of that happening is ludicrous.
I mean, and that's the thing when we come to a report like this. If somebody calls Steve Keim and says, Steve, I'm just throwing it out there. What if I want Patrick Peterson?
Yeah, okay. What's
it going to take? If he
says, I want two number ones, I want two number twos.
If he says that, does that mean Patrick Peterson is being chopped?
No.
Okay.
It does not.
See, that's somebody
saying,
I want
two number ones, Douglas. I want two number twos, and I want a third rounder in 2 years. 2 years from now. I'll take that right there. I'll take that deal. I want two ones, two twos, and a third rounder next year.
Five picks.
Or the year after. All right. There you go. I'm just saying, I honestly, Patrick Peterson is so valuable. There's no doubt about it, right? We all understand his value here. There's no way, though, you're going to move him unless you're going to get a boatload, and nobody's going to give that up.
You know, I do look at it, though, and I look at Al Holcomb and I look at Steve Wilks. And there's a little bit of a discussion going on amongst a lot of fans. And I think this is a very fair discussion. Do you bring in a head coach who runs an entirely different defensive system on a team that's consistently top five and always top 10 under the Todd Bowles, James Betcher era? Because if you're so sure Steve Wilks is the guy, we're going to have to deal with these growing pains. If you're sure Steve Wilks is the guy, this is going to keep happening for a little while. with the defensive struggles. And then you look at Patrick Peterson, and this is going to come as a shock to some people because I think everybody remembers that draft when I was freaking out about drafting Patrick Peterson. And that is, it's a luxury to have a Patrick Peterson if you're going to play this defense. You don't need to be spending that much money on one corner when you're doing some of the things that this team is doing. So why not look at trading Patrick Peterson?
Yeah.
Now, I am only saying that to play devil's advocate right. because I look at this and I have such a problem with Adam Thielen getting that touchdown. And if you haven't heard, Wolf has explained it very well. It was the scheme, and in that scheme, that can happen, and so be it. And there's schemes that James Betcher got beat on. My problem was we went into the game, you and I discussing, do you believe Adam Thielen's good?
Damn.
And if you did, and I realize Stephon Diggs is good too. But I'm saying let's take Thielen away because he's got all the numbers this year.
See, again, Stephon Diggs is a guy that yes. is, I think, more dangerous than Adam yep. Thielen. I know it's so ridiculous to say that.
So
the guy was targeted 15 times and had 11 receptions, but Stephon Diggs is more dangerous.
So I don't lose my mind that the game began without Patrick Peterson and lockdown of Adam Thielen. But I, at a lot sooner point in the game, would have said, okay, now Thielen's got something rolling. Let's at least mix this up. And when I say mix it up, I don't mean a time or two. Patrick, just go stop him, and I'll take the other 10 guys and see what we can do with the rest of the guys.
Yeah, I don't think the Patrick Peterson thing is going to happen, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, I don't respond to things that are ludicrous.
I'm just ludicrous, right? A ludicrous. Ludicrous, as my old math teacher used to say. That's just ludicrous. But it is in this case. I just don't see that. No team is going to give up what it is that I think the Arizona Cardinals would demand, and rightfully so, for Patrick Peterson. What's going to be interesting to see this defense develop in the second half of the season. I think the second half of this, and we are quickly approaching it, are we not?
Oh, yeah, we're there.
Think about this. in 3 days, they're going to play on Thursday night. That's going to be game number 7. Game 7 already of the season against the Denver Broncos coming up Thursday night, Ron Wolfley reporting. Are you kidding me? The season is flying by. Let me just say, ladies and gentlemen, the second half of the season is going to be really, really important. Based on what transpires and then what transpires in the offseason, based on what we're going to see in the last 8 games of this season. It's going to be really, really important for decisions going forward, both in terms of coaches that are going to be here and mm-hmm. coaches that are not going to be here and players that are going to be here and players that are not going to be here and front office personnel that's going to be here and not be here. It is going to be a momentous, seismic, dare I say, offseason based on what transpires over the next 8 games, or the second half, I should say, of the season. That's better. It's going to make a lot of things clear. It's going to make a lot of things easy based on what we see in that second half. And listen, I hate talking about this stuff because we're talking about players losing jobs. We're talking about coaches possibly losing jobs. We're talking about front office personnel possibly losing jobs. We're talking about people that are out there trying to do something and losing jobs. At the same time, every one of these guys understand this is the biggest mercenary league on the face of the planet. This is what it is all about.
Don't worry, there are plenty of tweets about people thinking about whether or not we should lose our jobs.
Exactly right. No doubt about it. We're all going to lose our jobs. One day. Just don't know if it's going to be based on the second half of the season.
Join Burns and Gambo today. Bashes on Warner and Ann McClintock in Tempe. They'll have Cardinals tickets, Cardinals gear, and your chance to win a flyaway to Seattle for the Seahawks game in December thanks to New Amsterdam Vodka. Big Red and the Cardinals cheerleaders will also be on hand. Details are on the events page at arizonasports.com. Coming up next, what went wrong in yesterday's game against the Arizona Cardinals, or what went right? How about this? One of the Cardinals radio analysts, not Ron Wolfley, said, wait a minute. I got something I got to say.
It's better to burn out than fade away.
No, that's not.
No, that wasn't it?
No. Roy Green joins us next for your football fix on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Frontenac.